I'm sorry for my funny voice today. I'm just working through the same things that's going around that everybody's working through. And it's my third day, so I'm not contagious. Don't worry. A prophet, we know, is a true prophet by three signs. One is he is selected, called by God. Two, a prophet is going to speak for God even when no one listens. Three, a prophet will be willing to die for the words he speaks that do not belong to him. St. John the Baptist qualifies. He was assigned, called, ordained by God in the womb of St. Elizabeth, his mother. And we are all familiar with the event of the visitation when John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb when she greeted Mary with Jesus in her womb. And so even before he was born, John the Baptist was called by God. We know that John the Baptist came out of the desert, and as we hear people calling him, and he calls himself this, he is a voice in the desert, meaning even when no one is listening, he will still speak, because that's what the prophet does. He doesn't speak for himself, he speaks for the Lord. And we know that later on, John the Baptist will die for the words he speaks. He will die at the hand of Herod, beheaded. And so John the Baptist's word to us is trustworthy. As we enter the second week of Advent, the message that the church wants for us to hear through the mouth of John the Baptist, the last prophet in the Bible, is repent. Repent. And to repent means to change our lives back to God. Repentance means we reform ourselves so that we can conform ourselves to God. St. John the Baptist gives us the reason why we need to repent. He explains to us that there is a selection process at the end of the day. God is going to select. The wheat he will gather into barn, meaning the souls that are conforming to him, he will gather to heaven. The chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The souls that are not conforming to him will be burned in hell. That's the reason why repentance is such a powerful spirit that we must come to possess. The message is pretty clear. The reason is very clear, but it's hard to accept. And in fact, modern people don't accept this. Modern Christians, many of the modern Christians don't want to hear this. Because many modern Christians have this wrong believe that it is they who select God. That somehow it is God who must qualify to be God for them. St. John the Baptist is saying, we have to repent because we need to qualify to be selected by God. Many modern Christians somehow get into this error thinking that they are the ones that select whether God qualifies to be their God. And their qualification for God is the same way they would have for everybody else. Do you know, when you ask a young lady who comes to you, and happens to me all the time as a priest, Father, I am engaged. I'm going to get married. I met the man. I would say, is he the man? Why is he the man? And you know the two qualifications that most young women would give to their men nowadays, you know what they are? Two qualifications. He is nice. That's the first qualification. You know what the second qualification for the man of their life is nowadays? He is funny. The qualification that we have for each other nowadays in our world we live in is whether you are nice or funny enough. I stop the young ladies and I say, Is he patient? Can he control his temper? Can he control his appetite? Can he take it for the team? Can he forgive? Does he keep his word? Is he a man of integrity? What about those qualifications? No. I don't know, the young ladies would say. I don't know. But he's nice and funny. And these are the qualifications that modern Christians use to select their God. Modern people. God should be nice. And God should be funny. Yes. And I will tell you that God is funny. But not the way we think. The young ladies would say, oh, he's so funny because he makes me laugh. You know, God is funny, but we're not the one who's laughing. God laughs at us. I told you the story about my sister, right? My sister Anne, when she was growing up, beautiful, yeah, beautiful. She's a beautiful woman. Growing up, she said, I don't know where she got the prejudice. But growing up, she would go around telling the family, I would never marry a Chinaman. We're Vietnamese, you know. I'll never marry a Chinaman. And then as she grew up a little bit more, she got even more qualified. She said, I would never marry a Chinaman with a mustache. She said, I have no idea where she got the idea, where she got the prejudice. I have no idea. But that's what she said. You know, we have 13 siblings. She's going around telling everybody. And God is laughing now because she married a Chinaman with a mustache. So God is funny in his own way. But back to what I'm trying to get across to you today. And that is, many people, many Christians get this wrong idea in their head that they are the ones that are going to judge God. And God, whoever he is, must qualify to be their God. And the condition, the one qualification is he's got to be nice. It's not nice for God to say something like, a homosexual people, don't live out your homosexuality. It's wrong. That's not nice. It's not nice for God to say, I created you man, woman. Man, woman. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And people are saying, that's not nice. Can't be my God if you say that. You're not nice. That marriage, when you take the vows before God, is for life. And God didn't make that. You made it. You made the vows. You stood before God and you say, I will love you for the rest of my life, freely. God didn't force you to do that. But boy, God is not nice when he says, keep your vows. Keep your promise. You're the one that promised that to each other for the rest of your life. It's not nice for God to force us to keep our promises that we made to each other. That's not nice. That hurts our feeling. God shouldn't hurt us. God shouldn't hurt our feeling. That's what's going on. Because God doesn't qualify for my gospel of nicety. Because God is not nice enough for saying those kind of moral standards, for setting those moral standards, for telling me how to go to heaven by living by the moral standards that he sets up. He hurts my feelings. He's not nice. He can't be my God. I can't believe in that kind of God. The God that I believe in is, he doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. He accepts everybody who does whatever they want. Because after all, he is love. That's the qualification I have for God. You see, my brothers and sisters, the world. And where does that come from? The devil, of course. Who else? So today, as we enter the second week of Advent, my job is to echo to you the prophet's words, the prophet's teaching. Remember what the prophet is, right? He speaks for God, even when nobody listens. Even if everybody hates him, and even at the end, he dies for those words. John the Baptist did it. And I'm simply echoing it to you, my brother and sister, that the truth is that we must repent, we must change our ways. Every day. Why? Because there is a selection process going on, and it is God who is the one that will select us according to His qualification, not the other way around. It is we who must conform ourselves to God in order to qualify for heaven. And that's the truth, whether we like it or not. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us pray for each other at this Holy Mass, so that if we have, for whatever reason, bought into these devilish ideas that sound so nice, that tickle our ears, you know, how God should be very nice, and God should make me laugh. Let us get rid of them. Let us get rid of these wrong ideas and start today with the truth revealed to us by His prophets. And eventually, as we come along in Christmas, you will hear the Lord Jesus repeating the same teachings. So for today, we listen to John the Baptist, right? That God is, after all, God. And He will select us according to the qualifications that He sets up. Therefore, it is the work of our whole life to meet His qualifications for us.